I call to order the June 16th, 2023 Otter Rock Water Board District Monthly Meeting at 6:01 p.m. Lisa, here. Beth?
Here.
Eileen?
Here.
And we have Kelly and Pat and Curtis and Whitney and I've forgotten the CPA's name.
Peter.
He's on mute.
His name is Peter Gelser.
Thank you, Eileen.
You're welcome, Lisa.
Sorry, it's been a day.
Believe me, I'm barricaded in my closet in the basement because I have five grandchildren that are like crazy things.
I think too that Lisa is definitely overworked. I think she said today was the 16th.
No, I said the 13th.
Did you say 16?
Yeah.
I thought I heard 16.
I thought I also heard the 16th, but I wasn't going to correct her.
Well, we have to have it right for the record. So.
It is 6:13.
Okay.
So the first thing on the agenda is the overview of the financial audit by Peter.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry for the confusion. I just realized I logged in as my coworker and I was wondering why it said Sheila. So yes, I was the lead auditor. For the record, my name is Peter Gelser. I'm a managing partner at Kuntz & Blasquez, managing all the audits that we do here. And so I did your audit fairly late, and that was expected. We kind of put you in at the very end of our stack of audits. So we finished it up in May, which is later than I expected. We had to do taxes for a few months there. But overall, whenever I do these kind of presentations, it's really, I give a brief thing and then it's up to you what questions you have, where you want to go. Overall, the district is very small, but it's fairly clean. You're going to have segregation of duties concerns, regardless of what you do, just because of the size of it. But, you know, with our testing and so forth, we did notice that there's a number of things that the board is doing, you know, opening mail, checking bank statements, those kinds of things that can really limit those risks related to segregation of duties. So keep doing what you're doing with that kind of thing. Those kinds of steps with an active board is really important for a district this size. And then the other note in the letters is related to the financial statements, and that's also very much expected. GAAP and GASB, and these statements are really getting more and more complicated. So I wouldn't expect you to be able to prepare them fully yourself. The key is to be able to understand them, and I think that's what's happening here. So that's really, in the board packet or the audit packet, there's two letters. One goes through those two findings. We didn't see anything else. And then the second packet letter is basically just describing what we are responsible for as auditors and what you are responsible for. So attached to that second letter is the management representative letter, which kind of goes through every single item that you have to sign off. And I kind of agree that you've looked into. So those are the two letters. And then we go into the actual financial statements as a whole. It's really clean. There's not a lot there. judging from your budget, I fully expect this next year with multiple funds and so forth to be much more complicated. But for this one year, just one fund, there's a few adjustments we have to make. QuickBooks is fairly, it's a good program, but it doesn't handle cash basis accounting as well as you would expect. You know, we had to kind of remove some of the customer deposits and a few things like that just to get it to be cash basis. But other than that, it's fairly clean. And the fact that you're tracking your SDC charges, the chlorination money and so forth is really impressive. It's unusual for me to see that done so well in a district your size. So overall, it's very clean and very, it's a good audit and good reports. I mean, I can go into numbers if people want that direction. We can talk about the future. I mean, what do you want me to do?
You know, I don't know that we necessarily had a lot of questions for you. I think we basically just kind of wanted to put, well, Beth probably does, but I think we wanted to also put just a face to who did the audit this year. You know, the only question that I have, and really it's more kind of just a general question, and it has to do with QuickBooks. Do you see the majority of these smaller districts using QuickBooks for their cash-based accounting?
I do. And it's a small issue. We're kind of used to that. Payroll is not handled right through QuickBooks just because it still runs everything through payroll liability accounts. And sometimes when you have billing for, you know, a water district or something like that, there's prepayments and so forth that also are kind of handled slightly incorrectly by QuickBooks. So we're used to those adjustments, but there's no other product that is cost effective.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable to keep doing that.
Well, one of the things that we've done, I know that the audit you did was for 21-22. And so this 22-23, you know, like with the payroll and things like that, there's just a journal entry that we're doing and posting that. And then we also we moved the money from that. That system development fund, we've actually created a separate treasury account for that. And so we can track the interest on that, which will be nice. So, yeah. Anyways, and I mean, other than that, you know, you answered my question, that one that I sent you the email on, because I've basically been trying to wrap my head around the whole cash basis accounting too, because I've never done that before. So it's definitely a learning curve. So, you know, and that one account that you were referring to, that $1,499, and then you basically were adding that into the revenue for the year, even though it hadn't been deposited yet, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the one that throws me, is looking at the receivables. And it's so anyways, but anyways, if we decide to sign with you guys going forward, are you available throughout the year for just basic kind of general questions?
So, I will say I'm traveling from the beginning of August to the end of October, basically. So email is great. You know, I quickly respond to that. Phone calls and phone conferences may be a little harder, but we can definitely manage that. So that's one period. And then the period from the beginning of February to the April 15th or whatever the tax filing day is, can also be a little hectic, but again, okay. I'm available. It just may be a few days before I can respond.
Okay. All right. I know the other thing that we're working on is this application for Business Oregon. And Beth has been trying to deal with that spreadsheet. So anyways, I don't really think I have anything else for you, Peter, but it was nice to meet you.
Yeah, you know, I will say that I'm used to having people ask questions about budget, especially. So I get a lot of calls in April, May about budget kinds of questions, you know, and then as people have input on grants or other kinds of things, I'm used to those kind of questions. So feel free to use me. I'm a resource.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, good. Okay. Go ahead, Beth. We need our cards.
Yeah, grab them. I had a question about, should we not be using cash basis accounting? Should we be using accrual?
You can't.
Are there pros and cons to either one?
There's pros and cons. I wouldn't think it would be worthwhile to shift at this point. When you start going into accrual and doing a full financial, then you have to start thinking about, are you going to start tracking your capital assets? You know, there's a whole line to get a full accrual accounting statement. You'd have to track your capital assets. You'd have to start tracking any other liabilities, you know, and receivables, you know, and if you wanted to go even further, then you have to start tracking all the GASB requirements like leases and things like that. And for a district your size, I'm not sure it's worth the cost related to all that activity.
Okay, that's all I need. I also had a question on policies. I attended a workshop last year and, you know, that talked about financial policies, and I know we don't have very many. And in your report, you noted quite a few times where the district doesn't have a formal policy about this and that. Are there any recommendations that you could give us of policies we should have? I know I've looked up for examples, but everything is that I've been able to find are, you know, pretty large municipalities that have multiple departments, and they have a finance director and a general manager, and we have none of that. And it was kind of hard to, you know, dissect those down to something that we could use.
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of the policies, I don't know if they're necessarily needed. I would say you probably need to start documenting your processes a little bit more. You know, and to a certain extent, those, so we kind of talked about them verbally when I was down there, but having those, so if someone leaves, you're not changing what you're doing. If the board member, a board member that's overseeing one particular aspect leaves, you're not changing what you're doing. Those kinds of things is probably more important than having formal policies.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of documenting, you know, the step-by-step what you're doing, or, you know, when you have, you know, check signers, who's the check signers, those kinds of things. And they may be, parts of those are documented in your board minutes or other documents, but, you know, one thing, so if someone steps in, they can really see everything. It would be right. Worthwhile.
Okay,
great. But a particular policy, like, you know, we talked about minimum fund balance policies, right, and things like that. Those are really geared for the much bigger entities.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you mind if I ask a question now?
Of course.
It pertains to the budget and the current P&L statement.
Yeah, let's wait on that till we get to the treasurer report.
Okay, I thought maybe we would need Peter to answer, clarify, but you can clarify with him later.
That's all I got.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Of course.
It was really great meeting you.
Yes. Nice to meet you all. And feel free to anyone it doesn't have to be the treasurer, or you know, it can be anyone who can reach out to me at any point. So really, that's what I'm here for.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Have a good evening.
Yep.
And if no one minds, I'd like to put Curtis up next so that he can leave.
Deliver well, thank you. Feel so welcome.
Sorry about that.
You know, if you want to hear the corrective action policy, you go right ahead. But I thought you want to, you know.
Any other day, I would love to listen to the correction action policy, but actually, it's my birthday today, and I'm standing outside my own birthday party.
Happy birthday, Curtis.
Thank you.
Will this just sing to you?
No, that's all right. I've gotten plenty of that already.
Okay.
For the update, we had our 9 water meters get installed, some on First, some on A Avenue, and some on B. So we are all set up. All the meters that the board has asked to be installed by June 30th are in the ground, and I believe you've already received the invoice for them.
Yep.
Talk to Ferguson and Consolidated. Unless we're talking hundreds of water meters in one order, there's not going to be any kind of discount. That's too bad. And then I looked into Diamond Mass and got an account set up that can be attributed to Otter Rock. If not, it'll expire in the next 2 weeks, I think. This would give you guys access to the map, all of its layers. You would have admin privileges. You could change things if you wanted or make updates, do pictures, whatever. But the cost associated is $12 a month. I sent it off, I think, to Beth because the next 2 weeks are free, saying if you want it set up, all I need is an email address. It's going to be the login username. And I'll send it to that email address, and they'll have to set up the rest of the account, make your password and stuff like that. But you're already set up. So if the board wants to pay the $12 a month for permanent access to Diamond Maps, then it's ready to go for you.
Okay. We should probably discuss that. But the $12 would be through you then? Through Highland?
Probably. It would probably be a reimbursement would be the way it would work.
Yeah.
So we would just tack it on and essentially cover the whole Diamond Maps for everybody and just collect it as payment. But as far as I can tell, we are completely done with projects. And I know you guys are working on your budget for July 1st. Just making sure, but I don't think we have anything to do until then. We're running the system. We're keeping the water safe and clean. But we're not working on any more projects right now.
How's your schedule looking, Curtis, if we want to do some more meters in July?
In July, we can do. Say we're booked out till July 1st right now. So we're about 2 weeks ahead.
Okay.
That's fine.
And yeah, from what I've gathered on, the boxes are pretty easy to get a hold on. The meters are a little more tricky, but they usually have them in quantities of about 10 to 12.
The 2-inch ones or the whatever we need.
Three-quarter.
Three-quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
I think we'll probably be, we have to discuss it, but we'll probably be ordering a bunch more. We'd like to get a bunch more meters in, especially in the dry season.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And it looks like doing more at a time is a lot more cost effective for us anyways. Because you've got your equipment here.
Yeah, so it's more cost effective to a point. Usually as soon as you do, if you give us about 4 or 5, that's about as cost effective as it's going to be. Just because it takes the same amount of time to do 4 meters, it would take twice as long to do 8, and 3 times as long to do 12. But if you're sending us out for 1 meter at a time, it'll take considerably longer.
Yeah. Well, plus your equipment's down here, Curtis, or at least, hopefully. So, okay.
Yep. I'm just saying it's not really a difference as far as efficiency between doing 4 and 10. 4 would take X hours and 10 would take 2.5 X hours.
Right. Okay.
So. Well, I feel like my report was much shorter than Peter's.
We should have put you first. Sorry about that.
It's all good. It's all good. Is there any other things I can do for you?
No, we might I was going to bring something up, but it needs board discussion. It's about problems with going to spring three if we get so dry that we need it.
Okay.
But I can communicate with you later on that.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what the numbers were. The reservoir was overflowing. I can't remember, it was 40 or 60 gallons.
It was
overflowing quite a bit.
Yeah, it was still overflowing 90 gallons per minute, but spring one and spring two are down about 2/3 of what they were the month before.
Okay.
So they drop pretty quickly when we don't get rain.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're still good now, but I don't know what our summer's going to be like. So
I'll be optimistic that we don't need spring three, but if we do need it, it'll be nice to have it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I will wait for the board approval on spring three and on the Diamond Maps email address.
Okay.
And Beth, you can send those over to me and we'll see about getting things set up and ready.
Yeah, I'll do that.
But Curtis, one last question for you. If we order meters, if we're going to order meters direct from Ferguson, would you prefer if we called Ferguson, or do you care, or do you mind calling them?
I would probably prefer I call them just to make sure we get the right thing.
Okay.
It'd be a shame to get the wrong meter perfect. Come in.
Got it. Okay, good.
Cool.
Thank you, Curtis.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye. So next on the agenda is the approval of the board summary from previous meetings. Does anyone have any questions?
Oh, I forgot to add that, didn't I? Didn't I have the other thing on there too?
Yeah, but I'm jumping up to the consent agenda, and then I'll go back to the Diamond Maps account.
No, I meant the corrective action.
That's underneath the board summary for previous meetings.
Right. They're both in the consent agenda.
Correct.
Right. We can, you know, approve them both at the same time if we want. But if you want to do them separate, that's okay.
Can I get a motion to accept the board summary from the previous meeting in May?
Motion to approve it.
I'll second.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Does anyone have any questions about the approval of the correction action for the Oregon Secretary of State? No? Okay, can I get a motion to accept it?
I so move.
I'll second.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is the Diamond Maps account. Beth, what is this?
Maybe I just sent it to Eileen. It's a map you can access online that Highland uses. And it, you know, they've taken GPS readings and they've got our whole district. It uses Google Maps as a background and they've got all the meters marked on the map and corp stops that are GPSed. And then almost all the water customers that are unmetered marked, and it's got, let's see, what else does it have? A few elevation readings, and it has some water pressure readings that they've taken throughout the district. When you go into it, it like for where the meters are, and they don't have some of the last ones marked and on the map, but you know, it connects to it shows the address and the GPS location for it, which we're going to need they want, Highland wants us to be putting that in the spreadsheet that's going to OHA for the lead survey, the lead pipe survey. And I did get I'd asked him for a download because I looked up the instructions on, found the manual online, and you can download the data. So that will help us from not having to type in a 12 digit length GPS reading times two for each thing. But it would be kind of handy to have access to, especially while we're doing this survey. I don't know that we need it long time. Otherwise, without a user account, I ask Curtis for the link, and he gives me a link that's good for 30 days, and then it expires. It's a kind of like a guest account link where you can, you know, look at the data. So I guess the only other way to have a long-term link is to actually have an account that's linked to an email. Well,
it sounds like the access that we could get would allow you to actually go in and edit things as well.
Yeah, that's a little scary, but yeah. Hopefully we won't mess anything up. I would be fine with just a read-only access, just so that we don't, you know.
Right.
So that we have, you know, we can see what's there and download data. But we'd want to be really, really careful if we were thinking we were going to change things. But it would be helpful in the long run, because they don't have like customer names in, and some of them they don't even have the address in, or the address isn't quite right that they've put in. So
that's kind of where I was going with it, you know, not changing, you know, like the actual locations and things, but if there's way of editing it so that the addresses are correct and things right. like that,
that would be kind of nice.
Yeah.
Another project. I need that.
Get on that, Beth.
But, you know, it's just up, you know, it's up to everyone. If you think it's worth the $12 a month.
Well, Beth, you know, you're the one that's going to be using this. So if it's something that we, you know, could shell out the $12 a month for as, you know, whatever length of time that we need it, and then just say, Curtis, okay, we're done. Right. It's not like you're signing a contract or anything.
No.
Yeah.
I think it would be really handy and nice through this whole survey period, which should be done in another 15 months or so.
Right. Yeah. So
what do you think? What do you think, Lisa?
My only qualm is I like to think about things, and this is the first I've heard of it. And
I thought everyone got that email, but okay.
I don't think so. I don't remember it. So that's my only qualm. I mean, if we need it, we need it. But, you know, I would like to go in there and look at it, you know. But, you know, if I can't, then, you know, it's okay. I just like to think about things.
It's pretty cool. If she sends you the link, it's kind of cool because it pulls up the map and it shows you where all the corp stops are located and stuff.
But how do they know that? Because we don't even know that.
No, it's the ones that were located earlier and all the meters. So they've got a GPS reading. And, you know, when Craig and I went out and found those 20 corp stops, Aaron came down with his super fancy GPS unit, and I walked around and showed him where they all were, and he got them all registered in the map system.
So, and that's going to be somewhat ongoing as far as, you know, they went out and located some of these a couple of weeks ago, but once they've got a batch of them located, then they hope to get Aaron back down here to do the GPS reading.
Yeah, actually Curtis said they could, or I guess it was JJ, said they could hand off that GPS unit to Cody and he could do it, which would be great because Aaron's a manager and
right.
charges us a lot and has to come down from Newburgh. So
Okay.
Yeah.
There again, you know, it's probably not something that you or I, Lisa, are going to really have much use for. But if it's a tool that will be helpful getting this EPA thing kind of moving in the right direction, I'm fine with it. So especially since we don't have to sign a contract or anything, and we may find that, you know, we don't need it.
Well, I don't think we would really need it full time. It's unfortunate they can't give us a permanent, just view only link to it, but they can't. Lisa, I'll have to get another temporary link from Curtis to forward to you, because the last one he gave me has expired now. But I can do that.
Yeah, that would be great. But, you know, if we need to make the motion now, that's fine. Or if we want to wait till, you know, we get more coordinates and then make the motion, I don't know what makes sense.
Well, I don't either. If you're okay with it. Okay, are you okay with it then? You have to know if you're okay with it. I mean, you know. So by your silence, I'm assuming maybe not. And so tell Curtis that we need to wait, send us a temporary link, but we probably will maybe in the future.
I would like to look at it before I vote on it.
Okay.
And if it's a special meeting to, you know, if we need it right away and we need a 5-minute meeting, you know, to approve it, that's fine. But I would like to see it before I vote on something.
Okie dokie.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the treasurer and office report, Eileen.
Okay, so the treasury report for 5/31/23, the current cash position for Security of Washington, the checking account is $91,980.03. Uncleared is $3,081.61, with a QuickBook register balance of $95,061.64. General checking account activity, credits were $5,302.27, debits were $73,147.59. Treasury savings account, we've got $85,133.45. System development fund account, as of 5/31, we have $60,730.74. So those funds were moved from the general checking into the new system development fund that we set up. Community center account is the same at $366.79. The chlorination account hasn't changed. It's $16,965.62. We've got a receivables balance. It's a $13,296.25, and that's a credit balance. So those are all our prepaid customers. Current assets in QuickBooks as of 5/31 are $244,961.99. And our bills to pay is $26,447.20. Obviously, There's a couple of invoices in there that have affected that large amount. We're paying Portland State for the survey. There's a bill for part of the audit. I'm assuming we're probably going to get another invoice from them because that was a progress billing. And Highland was pretty high because they put 9 meters in for us and they were able to get those all installed. And we had asked them to send us an invoice so we could get them paid in this budget year. So that was another significant invoice. So hence the $26,000 in the payables. So anyways, that is your treasury report. We're still kind of, you know, working with First Security. I think we're getting a little bit better with the ACH payments and things like that. I think other than that, I don't know that I have much more for you. So, okay, questions?
Yes, Pat?
Is this the time now? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just looking at the P&L and I don't know, maybe I didn't see this and it's been there all along. I'm wondering why we are showing in account number 4,000 SDC receipt. I thought we had those in a separate fund.
They are in a separate fund, but they show up because they have an accounting code. They show up in our P&L.
That's our income, Pat. That's an income.
I understand it's income, but I thought we were keeping the accounting for that totally separate.
Well, it is by the fact that it has an accounting code, but what we could do, and actually I had, it doesn't have a form that compares it to the budget, but you can do a P&L by class. And this last year we did do that. Maybe Whitney, next month we can run one of those. It shows the different funds then.
Okay, maybe that's
what we don't have. A QuickBooks doesn't have a version that compares it to the budget. It just is this kind of a straight P&L. You lost Whitney.
Okay, and I, let's see.
What do you mean it doesn't compare it to the budget?
Well, I don't think it has one. It's a P&L that it's not a P&L budget versus actual by class. Maybe it does and we don't know where to find it. I don't know.
Could that be?
It's right. Had rides, so I missed that last part and you were asking me a question.
Yeah, you went away. P&L by class. Does QuickBooks have a version that does a P&L budget versus actual by class?
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I would imagine so, since anything out of general fund gets class to general fund, chlorination fund gets class to chlorination. So I imagine.
I didn't find one when I was looking, but.
The funds are on the balance sheet. So the funds are on the balance sheet. The income is on the P&L. Mm-hmm. And if I'm looking at the profit and loss versus actual and the account number 4,000 is sitting right there. So
right.
Budget this year was $12,426 and we took in $37,000. Right. So I'm not quite sure what the question is. What are you asking, Pat? I don't understand.
Well, so just in general, in tracking how our regular budget is doing compared to the actual, it's for income, it's showing we've got 114% of our projected income, our budgeted income, and that's distorted because of that SDC money in there.
Well, it is over because the SDC is 300%. We put one SDC charge expecting, you know, a year ago, we expected we would have one more new development, and instead we got what, four?
Right. We might be getting another one by the end of the month too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
so that might be what's throwing you, Pat, but.
Well, it's not throwing me. I just thought we were accounting for SDC and the chlorine funds separately.
We are. We are.
No, you're, but it's, never mind. Okay. But
yeah, okay. I know what you're saying. It would be nice to see them separated on a separate P&L.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we've had this discussion more than a few times in the past.
The way that you would want to do it, I would have to set up a separate QuickBooks account for each statement, for each checking account. When you run the P&L, it combines all the money that the district has and it separates it by accounting code, which you put in. That's where it's segregating it down. Peter totally approved of this. He said we were doing it right. It's the way that he wants it done. And it's the way I've been doing it. So I would literally have to open up separate QuickBooks accounts, one for the SDC account, one for chlorination account, unless I can run a P&L by class, because it all combines one basically, and then you put it down.
But it's right there on the P&L. That's what I don't understand. Okay. Okay.
All right. I'm not requesting or suggesting it that this should change. I just asked you about it.
Try to run a one by class next month, and we can post that one too.
Well, and you know, Pat, I'd be curious because, I mean, obviously, I don't think I'm understanding what you're asking. So maybe the next time I see you, we can look at it so that I understand a little bit better. So,
well, I don't think you're misunderstanding anything. So,
no, I might be.
And I just have other. When Peter mentioned documenting processes and policies, in the past, SDAO has offered model policies and procedures, and that's a good resource for that.
I've actually got that. Policy that I've been kind of playing with, Pat. It's kind of extensive, so it really needs to get whittled down.
It's okay for this little district, but there's guidance there anyway. Thank you all for a really smooth running accounting year and business year. Good job, everybody.
Thank you, Pat.
Yes, thank you, Pat. Is there any further discussion?
Well, there was one thing we were going to discuss, and I don't know, we could approve bills and treasurer's report, but was the chlorination fund status. I think, Eileen, you wanted to discuss that?
Well, that was correspondence that we got back from Dawn. Do we want to, is that where you're going with this?
That's what I thought it was about.
Lisa, you saw that?
Yeah.
Did you see my email as far as, I think you did, because I think you replied that leaving it sitting in the chlorination fund until it's depleted is probably best.
Well, you're talking about the account, not the fund. You're talking about keeping it in the same account, right? But I thought that
I'm talking about keeping the chlorination money where it is right now.
In the same checking account.
Yes.
Yeah. But there was about wanting to use it for things other than the chlorination system, which is basically complete now.
Correct. And I think we got an okay from Don Chapman to go ahead and do that as long as it wasn't being used for administrative expenses. Right. That's kind of what he said. So I think that if we want to use those monies, we could certainly maybe use those monies specifically for meters and boxes. That way tracking it, I think, would be easy because we're only looking at two items. And I think it would get us a long way to at least having meters and boxes in stock.
So question, are you're talking about then wanting, your intent is to use them to buy the material, the meters materials, and not for labor, but for the materials.
That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking that if we use that money specifically for meters and boxes, I mean, I know that there's other items that need to get purchased in order to get the meters and stuff installed, you know, but I guess it doesn't matter, but if we want to kind of keep tracking it until it's gone, it might be easier just to use those funds for, you know, meters and boxes. So.
Yeah, we can. So, yeah, on physical supplies for meters.
Yeah. So, and you know, until it's depleted. And so, it, you know, you're talking what? $165 for a box and $205 for a meter.
Whoa.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
About. So $370. That'd get us 45 boxes and meters.
That's probably more than we can afford to put in, but yeah.
Well, no, I know.
I would suggest we go ahead and cover the materials costs from, you know, the miscellaneous parts. There's a couple hundred dollars for each meter that it costs with, you know, connectors and elbows and reducers and gate valves and everything that goes into putting in a meter. So
add that in.
Yeah, I would suggest that. I would think it would be good if we did a motion on that, if we're going to do that.
Well, I'll motion to approve it.
Okay. To use the chlorination funds for purchase of meters, boxes and meter supply parts.
As long as we're able to distinguish that, Beth.
Well, yeah, they're on the Highland invoice. They always, because, you know, they invoice us separately for the miscellaneous parts we need for the meters.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have to separate out the, we can't add their administration fee on it. We just have to go. We can't have any admin fees on it.
Well, no.
So we have to just, you know, like a nut is a nut is $5 is $5 is $5. That's the purpose of his email. We can't add anything to it.
That's our purchase cost. It's like a markup at a store. It's not an administrative thing like paying a salary or paying the labor, but if you want to do it that way, that's fine. We can calculate that out differently. I'll just split it out on a spreadsheet. I won't add the 10% to that. I'll add it to the general account meter.
Yeah, I think that's what he wants. He doesn't want any extra costs, just the cost of the supplies.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Straightforward.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I read it, Beth.
No. That's correct, Lisa. That's correct. Yeah. So
Eileen made the motion. Who wants to second it? Okay, I will.
You can't second it.
A second emotion?
You made it, so you can't second
no,
it.
No, Eileen did.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't be able to second my own emotion now.
Well, if I made the motion, does that mean that? Okay, never mind. Never mind.
I'll second it. I'll say.
Whitney has a question.
Would you be more comfortable if I wrote that portion of Highland's check out of the chlorination account that we already have? So there'll be two separate checks and the materials will come out of chlorination and the rest of the bill can come out of ours?
I think that's the way we're going to have to do it, Whitney, because we're going to deplete that fund. So don't start with this one that you're doing. This is starting. This is next budget year. Yeah.
Right.
So I think what we'll do is, you know, when we start depleting that fund, we'll just make sure that we're very specific on, okay, we're going to pull this from the chlorination account, just like what we have been doing.
Right.
But now we're going to use it for meters. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Perfect.
You'll know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Beth has seconded. So Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Now, can I get a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
I so move.
I second. Lisa, yes.
Yes.
Beth? Eileen?
Yes.
Can I get a motion to pay the bills?
I'll second.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is the Mapleton Water District communication.
Yeah, Mark Knudsen from SDAO gave out my contact information. It was okay. I got an email from Mapleton Water District. They're a kind of small water district also, although they're bigger than us. We're smaller than them. He said, we're a very small water district. Well, we're smaller. They have 267 connections. And he was wanting to chat, and I haven't had time to get back to him on that, but they're going through things like, sounded like similar things of needing some major system parts replaced and board changes and staffing problems. And he wanted a copy of which I sent him, our superintendent job description, which they're calling a water operator, which most people do. So I sent him that and he was quite thankful, but he wants to chat and I'm hoping to connect with him on the phone and we can commiserate about running a small water district that's falling apart and, you know, all that kind of thing. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that occurred. And no, we're lucky. They've had, I looked them up on the web, and sure enough, they've had two boil water notices in the last 2 years. So,
oh, that's not good.
Yeah, they had a pumping station come apart and suck in groundwater into their system, and had to send out a boil water notice, and they've had a bunch of problems. So,
Mapleton. Is that on the way to Florence?
Yeah, that's on the Siusla River. That's where it floods frequently, and most of the houses now are up on stilts.
Yeah. I wonder where they're pulling their water out of.
Yeah, I could have looked that up when I looked them up on the state site. I'm not sure if it's river water or ground or well water. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Next on the agenda is the EPA survey update.
Oh, yeah. We had a, let's see, what has transpired a lot since last month? We've got kind of a, what I've been calling the Corp Stop crew, Buck Boston and Craig DeMott, who have both been on the board and have both been around for quite some time and know the system real well. And we went out hunting for Corp Stops, and we're quite successful now that we had, along with this old map from 1970, what is it, 5 or 6, and some drawings from 77 that have the actual measurement between Corp Stops to the inch. But everything was in the name of the person who owned the lot back then, and so through a process with some translating, we were able to figure it out, and they're actually were quite useful. And then we had a meeting with Keith from Oregon Association of Water Utilities. He came down. He's been here before. He met Jim before. He has a hydrophone that he will not lend us because it's a $6,000+ piece of equipment, but he will bring it down with him that can help to maybe locate some service lines. I should back up and say myself, Eileen, along with Buck and Craig, met with him, and we thought we should save his time with the hydrophone for the ones that we get stuck on, and we're gonna, I think, continue to try to find these ones that we have on the map, and then when we have some tricky ones that we can't locate, then we can have him come down. He gave me a name of someone to talk to at OHA. I put in a call and haven't had a return yet. I have an email. I may also probably follow up with an email. I'm hoping they'll talk to me. And this is about my main question for them is, why can't we do the 20% sampling like it says on their website? But JJ Olson from Highland told us we couldn't. But it's even in the Oregon administrative rules that you can do statistical sampling, especially in light of the fact that I don't want us to have to dig up all these holes and then refill them when a couple of years down the line, they're all going to get dug up again and exposed when we do a new system. So it's like a lot of money to spend just to get this information into a spreadsheet. And Joni DeMott helped me out with some of these drawings that matched these old drawings, which were showing the distance between Corp Stops. Pretty useless unless you knew the new name that it belonged to, so you knew the lot that it existed on. And so she helped me go through a bunch of those with a copy of the old map and a copy of the new map, and did that translation. So that was great. I'm still hoping to get a crew together to, well, besides looking for more Corp Stops that are the ones that are hidden and need to be marked, do some more record searches in the office, which I don't know who else would like to do that. I'd rather be tromping around outside, but we'll need some board member to help do that and get some volunteers to go through some of those old records and see if we can find information on what materials were used for mains and dates, get dates of things.
Regardless of if we dig them up?
Well, no, No, that would prevent us from having to dig everything up. I did find in one of those drawings that showed where they extended a lateral main down to a house that was built in 2001, and it's very clearly labeled that they put 2-inch PVC down there, so to the corp stop. So that gives us that information.
Okay. Well, Beth, I'd be happy to go over there at some point, but I just don't have a time right now.
Right. Well, I know, and I know we have some community people who volunteered and would really like to help out in this, and I'd like to, you know, have them help because it will be quicker.
Yeah. Well, especially if you don't mind looking through old records and stuff. So, you know, you got to know what you're looking for. That's the
right.
So, well, you need to shoot those guys an email. We can't be the only ones that are asking this question. And if things are written in the statutes that it's 20%, we can't be the only one that's asking that.
Well, according to Keith, we aren't the only one that's wanting to do the 20%.
Right.
Because he was like, if you get an answer from I think her name's Carrie, let me know.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the update on it.
Well, thank you, Beth.
Yeah. And we may be out. Craig's ready to go out. He actually did more than what the three of us did that one day. He kept going. He said, I'm going to go check up on 4th Street. I think I know where some of those are. And he kind of unstoppable guy, you know, so he found a bunch more. Oh, and one thing that's a problem is keeping them marked until we get them at least GPS, but even forever. I thought I was looking up and you can get construction wooden stakes for, you know, about $9 for a bundle of 12. And I think we need to go get some. I was going to go get some of those in town, and we can mark them with blue tape or the blue paint we use for marking. And those might be good and back in some of those brushy areas where, you know, some of those corp stops we found on Gladys, they were like 6-8 inches deep in just deadfall that's fallen down because they haven't been exposed for maybe what, 40 years or more. So
Beth, we've got a bunch of stakes. Scott's, oh yeah, we've got a bunch of them. They're back behind the garage, and I'm sure they'd work for you. Yeah,
you want to donate those?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because okay. I think he's done with them. He was just going to cut them up for firewood. So yeah.
Oh, we'll use them, and then he can cut them up next year for firewood.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, so maybe we can try getting some of that blue tape. I mean, it's not much. It's like $8 for a roll, like kind of like the surveyor tape, but they make it in blue, and we could tie around there to mark those that are like back in the brush.
Next on the agenda is feature meter installations.
I would suggest we go ahead and have Highland order some more.
Should we shoot for 10 more in July?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good season to be doing it, and I still want to find more information on where the lines are deeper. I'm gonna have to try calling calling or texting Jim again. I emailed him and he didn't get back to me, and I texted him and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I've been really busy. I'll get back to you, but he hasn't. So Whitney?
He's supposed to call me tomorrow.
Okay.
So I can ask him about that for you. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, no problem.
So that would be good to know, because coming up is the season where, you know, some of our places where the lines are deep and the water table's fairly high, and wintertime it's impossible, or, you know, when it's wet, the wet season, it's impossible to put the meters in just about. So,
right.
Well, maybe what we could do is look at, you know, I mean, 10 is a good number, but maybe what we should look at doing is maybe ordering more meters and boxes, so we've got a few more sitting there, and, you know, kind of go from there. So.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should order 20.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe we order 20.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we can start, you know, because obviously we need to find 10 to put in, 10 places, spots.
Right.
We're going to finish up on Gladys, or, you know, so we need.
We've got a total of 8 to go in there.
Yeah.
We've done 4, and we've got 4 more in that section to do. But then I think I remember Buzz talking about some of the lines up on 4th Street there, the east part of 4th Street were deep. And that's why I wanted to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That information, because that would be then maybe in the next area to shoot for.
Yeah. Just, you know, if we can keep doing it where we're doing them in sections, that's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so yeah, it makes sense to do them all together, because.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Through.
Okay.
Okay. So I make a motion. We order 20 more meters.
And boxes as well.
Boxes and supply. Yeah. Parts for it.
I'll second that.
Lisa? Yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is, yeah?
I just wanted to announce that our total meter installations for the year are 23. We got 23 of them in this last fiscal year. So yeah, that's a yay. Kudos for everyone doing that.
Beth, and do you know offhand how many we've got left to put in?
Oh, I didn't do that math. We've now installed a total of 87 residential meters.
Okay.
Or we have that many. That's counting the subdivision 6 too.
Okay. So
the district has installed then a total of 81 since 2018.
And that includes the ones that he just did?
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we have? About 140 something.
So about 65 left to do?
Yeah, about something that. Like that. Yeah.
Just a rough number. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Now I'm done.
Next day on the agenda is the future audits for fiscal year 22, 23, and 23-24.
I'm perfectly fine with continuing to use Coontz. Glasgow. You know, they came through for us. It was right down to the wire, but, you know, I think we ended up with a nice audit out of the deal. And if they're kind of available to poke throughout the year. So I'm fine with it. There's 2 contracts sitting over there at the office. I don't know if you've seen them, Lisa, but they kind of want us to sign.
My question was if this Business Oregon loan goes through, do we need a different type of audit than what those are?
We're going to need 2 of them. We're going to need this audit, and then we're going to need a federal fiscal audit. And
on totally, top of the regular one?
They're totally 2 different beasts. Yes.
Oh, okay. So it wouldn't be something we signed up for and weren't able to use then.
I don't think so. I think it's upping it.
I think they gave us a quote on that. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to find that, but wasn't there like a?
It was like $2,000 or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah.
On top of the audit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not much. I was real pleased with them and their report, since they gave us a good report. No, but from everything I heard, they seem to be, you know, real good to work with. So
So do we need a motion?
Yeah, and do we do it for both years or just 1 year? Or are you saying we'll need this more expensive audit for both years then, Lisa?
As soon as we get the federal money and we start spending it, that's the ticket. It doesn't matter when we get it, it's when we start spending it.
And
because they don't give us the money until we start spending it. I mean, we can sign the loan paperwork, but we won't get reimbursed until we start spending it.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So it doesn't matter if we sign the loan documents. As soon as we send, you know, as soon as we start spending the federal money, then yes, we will have to get an audit for that whole entire year, no matter where it starts. So if we start it in November, we're still going to have to get a federal fiscal audit for June through.
For the previous year, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. How much was the total for this audit that we'd be signing up for? I don't have it in my head. I can't remember. Eileen, you must know about how much.
So the financial audit that we did this year is $9,500. And so
And it wasn't their offer locking that in. If we go ahead and sign that, we're locking in that price.
I think so, yeah. And then there was this. So what I'm looking at here is there was a financial audit and then there was the single audit. And I think the single audit was the one if we get involved with the federal monies. And that one was an extra $2,500.
Mm.
So, but now this, you guys, I'm looking at, this is from less, you know, this is for this year. So, and I did not look at the paperwork that's sitting at the office. I'm sorry. So I don't know if there was pricing attached to that or not, or if it was just a contract. So.
I'd be fine with it if it's the same.
Okay.
And that's my recollection. Can we do a qualifying motion?
Is there such a thing?
I don't know. Well, yeah, there is. We did that on the meters and it kind of bit us, but we said we'd okay them if they weren't more than 200, and then they came in more than 200 and we had to redo it.
And we had to redo it. Okay.
Obviously, we can do it that way.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and go with these guys for the next couple of years.
Yes.
Does somebody want to second that?
I second it.
Okay, good.
So Lisa, yes. Beth?
I'm still looking for. Okay, yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Well, I like it because the Business Oregon, you know, said good job, you know, with the audit. And, you know, that
they like big, that, yeah.
Yeah, it's big brownie points in our favor. So
that's true. Yeah.
I was like, yes, finally, something right.
Yeah, they were happy with that. So,
yes. Next on the agenda is ordinances, which are none. And then resolutions, the transfer resolution 2321.
Yeah, so everybody's looked at the transfer resolution. It's putting a little bit more money into meters from extra that we had in additional services because we spent more on our meters, but it was great because we got those 9 more meters put in. And so I would make a motion to approve that resolution.
I'll second that motion.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Woo-hoo. Next up. Next down the agenda is public comments. And if you notice that the Mullins and the Harts have joined.
Oh, look at that.
So does anyone have any public comments? No? Okay. Any board members have any comments?
I do. As I was discussing with a little bit earlier with when Curtis was here, our springs are, you know, already starting to slow down. I'm getting a little freaked out of our weather because we're getting typical weather patterns in May and June that we typically get in July and August, which is no rain getting to the coast hardly, that we may have a rough summer if it doesn't continue. Our springs are fairly react pretty quickly from rain or no rain. I was talking to Craig about it the other day, and there's a problem with putting, now spring three is, as you can see on the report, is kind of, it's a real steady spring. It was last month, it was 31 gallons per minute. This month it's 31. And I was asking Craig about that. And he goes, oh yeah, it just seems to always be a constant flow, but there's a problem bringing it online. It's lower in it, and the water from it has to be pumped up into the tank. And there's a problem in that there's 2 check valves up there that are broken and don't keep the water from flowing back in. So the last time we had to use it, which Craig and I couldn't remember, but I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, we actually had to go to spring three, which we try not to go to because it requires the pump. And what they used to do, they have a timer on the pump, and so they just have it go on in the evening and for a while, and then it would shut itself off. But now with those broken check valves, they have to actually go up there manually, turn some valves, and turn the pump on, and then go back up and turn it off and turn the valves off so that all of this water is not just flowing back down the spring three overflow. I don't know what it would take to repair that. It would take someone that was more knowledgeable about it than myself to talk probably to Highland about it, which I would nominate Craig. But I don't know if we need to be concerned about it or not. But even if we don't look at doing that repair, I think we should consider sending a message out to the community that if they have any plans to do anything like that would take a lot of water, like power washing or anything, please get it done soon, because we might be in for a rough, you know, July, August, September.
So how do you usually broadcast those messages? Just email and
email. I mean, if it's, you know, there, we have a water curtailment ordinance, which has three phases on it. The first two phases, phase one and two, are both voluntary, asking people not to water lawns unless they're brand new lawns, you know, not to, you know, wash cars with water running and, you know, common sense things. And those, in the ordinance, it states that the water operator has to request that. There's a third phase that is the real emergency phase, which allows the board to actually set that policy, and that is mandatory water curtailment. Before, I believe it's been done, because see, it's been quite a few years now since we had to do that. I believe it was done via email. I don't know, Whitney, have we ever mailed that out to people too?
Yes. Only to people that we don't have an email for.
Right. So we treated it that way. Yeah. We'd mail it where we had to, and otherwise email.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at this point, it's just like, it would be just a kind of a caution.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
And like, make, you know, because the other day I was talking to Joni, and one time when it was pretty dry, but it wasn't like there wasn't a thing like you can't, absolutely can't, but it was getting real close to that. And she heard some people off down the way power washing, and she went down there and talked them into not doing it, because, and they were, you know, out of town owners and didn't realize the implication that they were just washing everything off real good. And she said they stopped, but you know, a lot of people aren't aware of it. And of course, a lot of people maybe don't read our emails, but we could try.
Yeah.
Are we, or is Highland doing the consumer confidence letter this year?
Oh, I forgot. I wanted to ask Curtis about that. I'll send an email on that. Yeah, that's part of their basic services, and they were late last year, and we need to. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, what I was thinking is we could maybe just put a letter in and state our concerns. Say, this isn't a please stop, but please try conserving in case of.
Well, and to plan, I was thinking to plan.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting my place painted, and they're, you know, they're supposed to be doing it in just a few weeks. And then I thought of, oh yeah, because I was thinking I was going to get the painting done in August, it might be a problem.
The consumer confidence report, is that something that's mailed out to the residents?
It's an annual letter that it was Jim who did it, but Highland's been doing it. That they do, and it's just our water, how much, you know, what our water, what's the word?
Usage.
Thank you.
Water quality.
The water, yeah. The flow and all that. It's about that. I can send you an old one that I have on the computer, so you can see what it looks like.
Sure.
They're on the website too.
Oh.
But is it something that's mailed to the customers? Is what I was.
Yeah, asking. It has to be. Well, you know, last year we got it a little bit late. We emailed it and then hand delivered it to those we didn't have an email for.
Oh, okay.
But we have so many people out of town that, or people that have property but they don't have like undeveloped lots, mm-hmm. that to send them to, because we've gotten in trouble from not sending them information before.
Right. Yeah. It tells you, you know, that hopefully your water isn't contaminated with arsenic and lead and all the okay. things. And right. of course, our water's always been just fine, but okay. yeah. And it's mandated by the state. We have to have that for the previous calendar year, supposed to be out by July 1st. And then Highland has to notify the state that they've produced the report and give them a copy or something, you know?
Okay. Okay. So just to clarify, that spring three, that water is just kind of flows, but it's not doing anything with the main tank. It's just flowing.
We're not using it because it has to be pumped. Yeah.
Okay.
It has to be pumped up to get to the tank. The other ones are above the tank level and they'll flow there by gravity, but.
Okay. Yeah. But we could access that water even if it was manually. Let me rephrase that. If we needed to access spring three because the valves are broken, we could still access it, but it would be a manual operation.
Yeah, and what Craig said they were doing before is, you know, they'd turn it on in the evening and then someone would go up around midnight or 1 o'clock, turn it off, turn the valves and turn the pump off. So
okay.
I was just not, you know, like, I don't know enough about it. And he was trying to explain it to me how it all worked.
Okay.
And
Jimmy would come in from Newport.
Worth something that we need to have fixed or not. What was that, Whitney?
Jim would come from Newport to turn it off at like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I will not volunteer to do that for you.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, that's, you know, that's one thing that maybe I'll have Scott talk to Craig a little bit about that. And
yeah, would you? So I was just, you know, concerned if we have to use it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not the pump that's broken, it's the valves that are
check valves that keep the water from flowing back.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Scott doesn't like to be involved, but sometimes I try to involve him. So okay.
Well, Beth, I appreciate the fact that you're worrying about this because I'm also worrying about this. And I think you're right. It's going to be a hot, dry, windy El Nino, you know, summer.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen it quite like this. I mean, I like to watch the weather and I've got some weather modelers I've accessed on my computer and our normal July, August weather, there's a big high pressure that sits off the coast that keeps that weather that comes from Asia, keeps it from getting to our coast. It makes it go up north to like basically Alaska and Northern Canada. And it's usually starts doing that in July and August. And it's been doing it now in May and June.
That's not good.
No, we should get around 4 inches in May, our average, and we got 1/2 inch and we've gotten 0 in June now. And we usually get 3.5-4 inches in June. So it's like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know,
could be a rough year.
We should probably kind of start making our concerns known. So
right.
I mean, I'd even be happy to go stick stuff back up on the mailboxes again, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so anyways, you know, maybe we do that as an initial and just start kind of reminding people. So.
Well, and we had, I don't know if any of the short-term rentals still use it, but we used to have signs
That's right.
In them that Joni made that say, please save the water. If you're a renter, don't do excessive, you know, laundry or things like that. I think I have them at the office. So maybe ask the short-term rental owners to talk to Vake Casa or any of those companies they use and ask them to mention that.
Right, right. Yeah. Joni might have the template too, you know, and she's been kind of helping do a few things. So she'd probably be happy to kind of update it if it needs to be updated. So
someone that had stayed in one of the rentals liked the sign. I don't remember which one they stayed in. And she actually gave me a few extra ones that she had. So I do have some.
Okay.
I could always mail them if the short-term rental owners are interested.
That's good. Yeah, they're the ones that use all the water, so or are not aware of the water issues.
Yeah,
I should say it that. Yeah,
not always, but they do use a little more in the summer than most of the other houses, except for the people who are watering their brand new lawns and stuff.
That's me. I've got a little lawn I've been watering. I better stop.
Oh my goodness. How big is it? It couldn't be very big.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I don't think we'd worry about yours.
My dad just reseeded their whole back lawn like the day before the last notice went out, or like one of the notice last few went out. He's like, I kind of need to water this, you know? So he got permission to start. So yeah, that's how long ago, I guess it was. Art was on the board. It was funny. He's like,
right.
What's my yard?
Yeah, well, I think our thing says to ask people not to water lawns except for newly established lawns.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any other questions?
Hi, this is Janice. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I just have a question about all this water curtailment. What are the plans to, what would the plan be to restrict the state parks and shutting off the showers and restricting commercial before you affect the residents?
That's stated in the ordinance. That's stated as under the emergency, the mandatory thing, but not the phase one and phase two.
Would they get a notice about that, like the residents would?
Residents, a notice about what?
About curtailing water.
If we went to it, yeah, we'd have to.
Okay. Any phase, would they get the same notice that the residents would?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All customers, yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, just wondering. Because they use a lot of water down the state park with the showers and the surf shops washing off everything.
Yeah, those two do use quite a bit. And yeah, they do. Usually only, you know, a couple months worth.
Okay, just curious. Thank you.
But it's nothing official yet on curtailment. We're just trying to look forward and predict or prepare.
Well, I think we should send a notice out saying that, hey guys, you know, please, I think we should be at number one. I mean, the number one letter, you know, saying, hey, guys, you know, don't pressure wash, you know, do the, you know, don't water the lawns unless it's new, you know, all of that stuff.
Well, we can't do that according to the ordinance unless the operator requests it. That's the way the ordinance is written.
So Highland?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But and, you know, we went through this last year with them and they said, no, we're not going to do that because we think you're still fine. My suggestion is to just, you know, inform people that it could be bad, and that to try to, you know, be careful of their water usage now and plan for it to be possibly really severe later.
Yeah.
I'd word it better than that, but you know.
Right.
Someone want to work on putting a message together?
Yeah, we can work on something.
Okay.
In my spare time.
Yeah, in your spare time.
Yeah.
I want to unofficially welcome Kelly to the board. It's not official till July, but yeah. They're excited. So
that's great.
Hello, everybody.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Whitney. So I'm hoping that you know, next month when I'm sworn in, I can volunteer to do some things, or you can assign me things to do. And I hope in this month interim that some of you will you know, give me an hour or two of your time to catch me up to speed about, you know, what this is all about. I haven't been attending the meetings, but I will go back and read some of the minutes and whatnot. But anyway, I...
Right, that would be great, Kelly. We could already, you know, kind of, yeah, I'd be glad to work with you some and kind of start the orientation process, you know, early. There's no reason to have to wait for July. You can, you know, there's an audio recording of the meetings, so you can listen to them.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll go back and listen to.
Yeah. So when you click on minutes, it actually downloads an audio file.
Okay. So especially maybe the last summary. 6 months or so.
Yeah. Yeah. You can do that.
And there's the information from SDAO on board members, that's a good packet.
Yeah, I have a board member packet I'll put together and give to you. Let you know.
There's also a lot of it on our website too, under district information, board reference is the category. Okay. And there's quite a few things like.
What does STAO mean?
SDAO is Special Districts Association of Oregon.
Okay.
And we have a membership to them, and they have they're a really good resource for information. And
okay.
And I've been here a really long time working here. So any questions that you have, like that go back a while, I can maybe answer. And I can also go through the office with you and kind of tell you the procedures down in there. If you want to make an appointment to meet down there, we can definitely do that.
Okay. And are all of your emails like listed?
I'll give you a list of everybody's emails. I can do that, send that to you tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. And phone numbers probably.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've got the list. I'll send you the list.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So congratulations, Kelly. You even won two positions. Yeah. You're not allowed to fill two of them. You won both of them.
So I think Consuelo just kind of put the word out, you know, write her in.
So. Just write her in, whether she wants to or not.
Right.
I hope that okay with this.
Oh, other people got write-in votes, and I talked to one of them because I just got the I got the mailing. That's funny. I was down at the office the other day and was asking Whitney if she'd seen it, and no. And I got home and it was in my mailbox, and I then remembered that they mail it to me because I'm the contact for the elections thing, you know. And I was like, okay, here it is. But yeah, there were a few other write-ins, and I talked to one of those people, and they said, I said, oh, so were you interested in being on the board? And they go, no, so and so does that every year. They write my name in.
Oh,
other influencers.
Yeah. Okay. All right, guys.
Okay. It's been fun.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Does anyone have any more comments before I announce that the next budget and rate increase hearings are Tuesday, June 27th, 2023 at 6 p.m. And our next monthly board meeting is Tuesday, July 11th at 6 p.m.
I do have one question.
Yes.
How much time do the meetings usually take? Like, should I budget 2 hours or are they ever more than that?
This is actually the longest meeting we've had in a while.
In a while. Sometimes they have, but we try really hard not to have them go that long.
Okay.
Usually it's about an hour and 15.
Okay.
Sounds good. We haven't been less than an hour for quite a while, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so if you gave yourself 2 hours, I think you'd be fine. You know, after this long, you just kind of, you're done. I'm done.
Yeah, I am too. Feel free to adjourn.
I am stopping recording.
Okay, adjourned at 7:42.
Well, welcome aboard, Kelly. I'm glad you're going to be